الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're reading المسألة الأولى. المسألة الأولى من مسائل الجاهلية التي خالف فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل الجاهلية. The first issue from those affairs that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam he opposed his people with regards to. The first affair from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah, from the days of ignorance, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam he opposed the people of al-jahiliyyah with regards to the people of his tribe and the people of his time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is with regards to al-ibadah. It is with regards to worship, and that the people of Quraysh and the Arab in general in those times, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he was sent to specifically, that he came from specifically. No doubt the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam he is sent to all mankind in general, but he was only sent. No recording, brother. Is that a video? No, videotaping is something we do not prefer. No, but barakallahu fik, and I would feel better if you erased it. And Shaybi Shayuthkar, I would never allow anybody to record me with a camera, with a video, or take my picture, except for somebody for a personal reason, like a license or passport and the likes like this. Other than that, I do not take pictures, and I do not like that my picture is taken, or I do not do recordings, and I don't like that I'll be recorded. I do not like that I'll be recorded, and I would not like, especially for anybody to put my picture or a recording of me on the internet, or a recording of me, any video. As for the audio, alhamdulillah, then if you find there's benefit in the audio, then spread it far and wide. As for videotaping, then I prefer not to be involved in that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسَ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ, that those who have the most severe punishment on the Day of Judgment are the picture takers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُصَوِّرِينَ, may the curse of Allah be upon the picture takers. So this is something that we're tried with in these days. And no doubt there's some differences of opinion with regards to certain type of pictures. But in reality, everyone who takes a picture, whether he's drawing it or whether he's taking it with a photograph or with a videotape or with a camera, at that time he's called a musawwir in the Arabic language. That person is considered musawwir. And there's a curse for the one who is a musawwir. And there is a mention that the one who is a musawwir, he will have the most severe punishment. So no doubt what is safest is to avoid that and to stay away from that, except in that which is a necessity. So we shouldn't take these affairs lightly. We shouldn't take these affairs lightly, especially not taking images or videotaping or taking pictures of others without their permission. And it even becomes more severe if one were to take the picture or the videotape of one's wife, waliyadhu billah, or of his daughter, waliyadhu billah, this would be even more severe and even more great, and also any more treacherous, waliyadhu billah, that somebody would take a videotape of someone else's wife and then look at that, or their daughter, or that, and then spread that and the likes like this. So this is something that many people they take lightly, but in reality it's not light. Barakallahu fikum. Al-masala al-ula. So the first issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he opposed his people with regards to. He opposed his people with regards to was related to al-ibadah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ja'a bil ikhlas, ja'a bi ifrad al-ibadah lillahi wahdah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with sincerity and purity of intention, and making the worship from every aspect entirely and purely and solely for Allah alone. And this is contrary to what his people were upon. His people, they were upon worship, and they knew Allah azza wa jalla, and they believed in him, and they believed in his lordship and his rububiyyah, and they believed in his power and authority, and that the dominion and the kingdom is in the hands of Allah azza wa jal. And they believed in Allah in this manner, but they had intercessors that they had taken with Allah in worship. and they believe that these intercessors will draw them near to Allah. So this is the first affair that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opposed them in. He opposed them in this affair. They had intercessors, they had mediators that they believe were righteous, and they had pure souls that there would be a means to draw them near to Allah. This was the doubt that they had. And as we have seen in the previous class, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned هذه شبهته القوم في قديم الدهر وحديثه في قديم الدهر وحديثه. This is the misconception and the doubt and the misunderstanding that the people they have had from the beginning of time until the end of time. We have seen that likewise in reality, this is the first manner that shirk was introduced into mankind. The first time there was a partner set up with Allah Azza wa Jal in worship. This is the first time somebody devoted an action of worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. The first time somebody worshipped another one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in this manner, seeking nearness to Allah by way of somebody else, taking somebody as an intercessor, taking somebody as an intercessor and a mediator, and devoting some types of worship and directing some actions of devotion to that mediator besides Allah Azza wa Jal, with the intention of drawing near to Allah. With the intention of drawing near to Allah. This was the first shirk that had entered into mankind. And likewise, this was the shirk of the people of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed his people with regards to. So this has proceeded in our previous class. So reading the point, whenever the author, he says, وَهَذِهِ أَعْظَمُ مَسْأَلَةٍ خَلَفَهُمْ فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, that this is the greatest issue that he had opposed them, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam opposed them with regards to. This is the greatest affair. There's nothing greater than this. أَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ, the greatest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has ordered is التَّوْحِيدِ, إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادِ, that all aspects of worship should be devoted to Allah alone. وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى أَنْهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى الشِّرْكِ, and the greatest thing that Allah has forbidden and prohibited is associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in worship. So this is the greatest affair that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he opposed his people with regards to. He opposed his people with regards to is the issue of taking intercessors, taking mediators between them and between Allah in order to draw near to Allah in this manner, in their claim and their false belief. So the author, he says, فَأَتَى بِالْإِخْلَاصِ, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, what is intended, yani ikhlas, إِفْرَادَ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ, to single out Allah alone for all actions of worship, to make the worship sincerely and purely, entirely, from every aspect, for Allah alone. Everything that is considered an action of worship, it must be directed to Allah alone from every aspect, with love and with hope and with fear, and with devotion and trust and reliance and with sincere faith. This is called ibadah. And any time an aspect of shirk enters into this ibadah, it will corrupt it. It will corrupt it and invalidate it. And it will not remain. The ibadah will not remain. Just as whenever a person, he's upon tahara and he's ready to pray salah, if he has a hadith, for example, he had passed gas, akramakum Allah, the tahara, it leaves, it goes away, and it does not remain. In the same manner, a person who is performing an action of worship, but he has devoted an aspect of that worship to other than Allah, then likewise, that worship right there has been invalidated, and it does not remain. There is no ibadah without tawheed. Tawheed is ibadah. And any ibadah without tawheed is not really ibadah. And the one who worships Allah and somebody else, he's not really worshiping Allah. The one who worships Allah and somebody else, it's not said that he's worshiping Allah. Nobody is truly worshiping Allah until that worship is purely for Allah alone. Allah lillahi ad-din al-khalis. Allah lillahi ad-din al-khalis. This is the greatest affair. And in this manner, a person, he can have a high, lofty status in this life and the hereafter. He can have great support and aid and success, and he can have much good in this life and the hereafter by singling out Allah alone with all actions of love and servitude and devotion and sincerity and truthfulness and honesty and faith, and with trust and reliance and hope and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and obedience and submission inwardly and outwardly. In this manner, a person, he will have the highest and most lofty status and rank according to this affair. And whenever some of this is directed to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, in this manner he will fall and be from the lowliest of the low. From the lowliest of the low and from the worst of the worst are those who attach their hearts to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, turning away from the Creator. In this manner, they will be lowly, they will be despicable, they will be worthless, they will have nothing. They will be entrusted to that which is weak, and they will be worshipping something that is similar to them, a creation that is provided for and sustained. And it is weak, just like the one who is worshipping and is weak. All of them, they're weak and in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, to devote oneself and to attach one's heart to Allah alone, this is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ دِينُ اللَّهِ. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he informed that this is the deen of Allah, this is the religion of Allah, this is the way of Allah, this is the methodology of life that is upright and good and that is accepted by Allah. الذي أرسل به جميع الرسل وأخبر أنه دين الله الذي أرسل به جميع الرسل. And he informed Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is the deen of Allah that Allah has sent all of the prophets and messengers with. That Allah has sent all of the messengers with عليهم الصلاة والسلام. وأنه لا يقبل من الأعمال إلا الخالص. And that Allah, he does not accept from any of the actions except that which is sincerity and purity for his sake alone. Except that which is sincerity and purity for his sake alone. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So therefore, whoever truly has hope in the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the hereafter, then let him work righteous deeds and not associate anyone whatsoever in the worship of his Lord. And let him not associate anyone whatsoever as a partner in the worship of his Lord. Because Allah, he does not accept except for that which is khalis. Allah, he does not accept except for that which is purity and done for his sake alone, seeking his reward and his pleasure, seeking his promise and seeking his mercy alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for acceptance from Allah and not from the people or anything in this worldly life. It must be pure. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ مَنْ فَعَلَ مَا اسْتَحْسَنُوا فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed the people that whoever does what they found to be good, and whoever takes intercessors along with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, believing that they will draw them near to Allah, then Allah will forbid for them the paradise. And their abode and destination will be the hellfire. And their abode and destination will be the hellfire. With regards to this specifically, this is in reference to a verse in the Book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. That indeed, those who say that Allah, he is a Masih ibn Maryam, they have disbelieved. They have disbelieved. And this is a great verse and a great clarification of the proper creed and a refutation of those who claim that the Christians are our brothers and that their religion is good and that they have the choice. If they want to be a Muslim or they want to be a Christian, they're okay because they're following a prophet. This is all falsehood and this is all wrong and this is all not correct and this is all a foul creed. Rather, it's an obligation to believe that the disbelievers, the Christians and the Jews, all of them who die upon Christianity or Judaism, after hearing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be from the dwellers of the hellfire. These are from those people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to. These are from the people of al-Jahiliyyah. The Jews and the Christians are from the people of Jahiliyyah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposed. And from them, he opposed them with regards to this creed right here. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. That indeed they have disbelieved. Those who say that Allah, he is al-Masih ibn Maryam, meaning those who say that Allah, he is Jesus. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ عُبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. And Isa, he said, Jesus, he said to the people, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And then the end of this verse is what the author he's referring to. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And then Isa, he informs the people, alayhi salatu wasalam, that indeed whoever associates partners whatsoever with Allah, then indeed Allah will forbid the paradise for him. He'll make the paradise haram for him, meaning forbidden. He will not be allowed to enter. He will not be permitted to enter whatsoever, and his final abode and destination will be the hellfire. And the oppressors, الظالمين, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ يعني المشركين. المشركين أعظم الظلم الشرك. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. The greatest oppression, the greatest wrongdoing is shirk. and the greatest of those who are oppressors and wrongdoers, the greatest ظلم, and the worst of all of the ظالمين is the one here that associates partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is because of ظلم, the people of not, as they mentioned, وَضْعُ شَيْ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهِ, to put something in a place that it does not deserve to be. So therefore the mushrik, he had وَضَعَ الْعِبَادَ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهَا. The mushrik, he placed the ibadah in the place that it does not belong. So therefore he's considered ظالم. This is great oppression. Rather, the worst of all oppression, to give the right of Allah to his creation, to turn away from the Creator who is perfect from every aspect, who has no deficiency whatsoever, who's alive and never dies, and he's powerful and strong, and he feeds and he's not fed, and no one can protect from him, and he is the only one who gives protection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give his right, tabaraka wa ta'ala, to someone from the creation who is deficient and weak from every aspect, and in complete and entire need of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in complete and entire need of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the worst of all oppression. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. So this is what he's referring to here, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Then he mentioned, clarifying, likewise, وَهَذِهِ هِيَ الْمَسَلَةُ أَلَّتِي تَفَرَّقَ النَّاسُ لِأَجْرِهَا بَيْنَ مُسْلِمٍ وَكَافِرٍ. And this is the issue here, that the people, they have been divided. They have been separated into two groups, into Muslim and to Kafir. Into Muslimin wa Kafir. Any to a Muslim and to a disbeliever. So the people here, with regards to the shirk, any of those who avoid it and stay away from it, they're considered Muslims. Those who single out Allah alone for all actions of worship, and they testify to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they believe in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they're considered Muslimun. And as for those who associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in any aspect, then they're considered Mushrikun. So this is the issue that divided the people and separated them. Taking rivals and partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. Specifically here, taking intercessors, drawing near to them and devoting actions of worship to the intercessor with the intention of drawing near to Allah. This separates the people. In this manner, a person, he will leave the faith. He will leave the fold of Islam. His actions will not benefit him. His actions will not benefit him. They will not benefit him whatsoever, whether they will be like particles of dust in the wind. They will have no benefit for him whatsoever, the one who associates partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, and he dies upon that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So he says, likewise, وَعِنْدَهَا وَقَعَتْ الْأَدَاوَى. And this is the point right here. Likewise, the enmity had befallen. And because of this issue, the great enmity and hostility befell between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, and between his people, the people of Jahiliyyah. It was at this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at first he's calling the people privately and quietly, and likewise he's not directly finding fault and mentioning the ills of shirk and worshipping the idols besides Allah Azza wa Jal. But the Prophet is calling the people to Tawheed and to glorify Allah Azza wa Jal privately for 3 years. And then after 4 years, he's commanded to call the people publicly. And then he started warning from shirk. وَقُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. And he ended in a shirk. And he started clarifying that shirk was falsehood and that their idols are weak and deficient and not worthy of worship. And at this time, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to announce and proclaim the call to Tawheed, they become very angry and very upset. And the hostility began. And the hostility began until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he was granted victory against his people. Whenever he was granted victory against his people sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people were dying for this affair because of this issue here. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade them for taking intercessors, forbade them for having mediators between them and between Allah Azza wa Jal, claiming that they will draw them near to Allah. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. This is what they claim and this is what they fought for. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, he said, Ya qawmi qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. All my people, say there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, you will be successful. And then they said, Aja'ala al-alihatan ilahan wahidan, inna hadha la shay'un ujab. Is he trying to make all of the objects of worship one? Verily this is something that is amazing. And at this time the enmity began and the hostility began. And for this reason, jihad was established and made lawful and legislated in the deen of Allah. And this is what he's saying here. وَلِأَجْلِهَا شُرِعَ الْجِهَادُ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. And likewise, for this reason, and for this reason of the obligation of making the worship entirely and purely and sincerely for Allah alone, and not taking any intermediators or any intercessors or anyone along with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, or devoting any action of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any aspect. This is the reason why the jihad in fighting in the path of Allah was legislated, just as Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونُ فِتْنَةً وَتَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. And fight them, the mushrikun, fight them until there is no fitna, yani no shirk, no fitna, the greatest trial, until there's no more trials. And in the greatest trial and the greatest fitna is shirk, and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. And that the deen, the submission and surrender, and the obedience, and the devotion of worship, all of that will be entirely for the sake of Allah. All of that will be entirely for the sake of Allah. So this is the first issue. This is the greatest issue. This is the deen of all of the prophets and messengers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified this in a number of affairs. And the author likewise, he's very wise in this manner. And the wisdom from authoring the likes of this work is to be able to know what they were upon previously, in order to truly understand the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by knowing what his people are upon and why they refuse to accept his religion and follow his way, while they know that he's truthful, while they know that he's honest, while they know that he's pious and righteous upon a good way. They all know that about him, and they knew nothing about him his whole life for 40 years sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for that he was upright and noble, and he was well mannered, and he was from the best of their people, and the most honest and trustworthy amongst them. They all knew this about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why did they refuse? Why did they refuse to accept his call? Why did they fight him? Why did they attempt to kill him? Why did they go to war with him? He's their tribesman. He's their nephew. He's their brother. And they have ties and relatives. Oh, he's related to all of Quraysh sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet this enmity occurred in this manner. What caused that? What caused that? It's because what they were upon, and their religion and their way, and what they preferred from the way of their forefathers, and that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to. So in this manner, a person, he will be able to truly understand and realize the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever one is able to realize that, and he sees the truth clearly, and nothing is ambiguous to him, rather the deen becomes very clear, and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear, and the details are well known, then at this time, any time something opposes that comes in creed or in speech or in action or deed, a person, he'll be able to identify that right away. He'll be able to identify that right away. And this is from the benefit of learning the proper creed and the proper religion and deen. And likewise, learning the attributes that are of the people upon that path. In this manner, the people of falsehood become clarified. The people of falsehood become clarified by learning the traits and characteristics of the people of truth. Of the people of truth. And you will find the people of falsehood opposing them and their traits and characteristics. So even if they pretend to be from them, or they imitate them outwardly, one, he will be able to identify them and know that they're not truly from them. They're not truly from them. This is from the most beneficial knowledge, to know the opposite of things. To know the opposite of things. So this is what his point is. And likewise, in order to clarify as well, because as we have seen, although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had removed the jahiliyyah, yani in the absolute sense, and the jahiliyyah will not return into to an absolute sense when it's encompassed the whole world as it had before and previously, but the jahiliyyah remains. The jahiliyyah remains, and in certain times, in certain places, in certain people, it's stronger. It becomes stronger, and no doubt as the days come closer to the last days, the knowledge is becoming lost, and the people of piety and righteousness, and the people of the sunnah are becoming fewer, and the jahiliyyah is returning, and it has returned greatly into this ummah. It has been introduced into this ummah in the same manner, until there are people today ascribing to al-Islam, and they're doing the exact same thing. This was happening in the time of the author specifically, and it continues happening today. People, they're ascribing to al-Islam, they make the shahada, and they're establishing the pillars of Islam outwardly, but inwardly their hearts are attached to the creation and to righteous people. So they claim, and they devote themselves in worship to those intercessors, claiming that they'll draw them near to Allah. So in order to be able to identify that and know that and not be tried by that, this is from the wisdom of authoring this work, and from the wisdom of studying this work, so that one, he will not be tried by those ways. He will not be tried by those ways. So the author, he mentioned here that the people of Jahiliyyah, يَتَعَبَّدُونَ بِإِشْرَاكِ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي الدُّعَاءِ. that they worship Allah Azza wa Jal, but they're associating partners with Allah in dua. What ibadah? A dua, what ibadah? So a dua, it is ibadah. But the fact that he mentioned dua first and then after that, coupling it with the mention of ibadah, this is called the Atful Ami Al Khas. So this is in order to emphasize the one that is specific, because a dua, supplication, invocation, is a specific type of worship. So he's mentioning that they're associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. They're associating the righteous and worship with Allah Azza wa Jal in supplication, invocation, and in actions of worship. And he, so supplication and invocation is an action of worship. So it would suffice to say that they are associating the righteous in worship with Allah Azza wa Jal. But he said associating the righteous in dua and worship. And this is to emphasize the issue of a dua and the importance of this affair and the dangers of this affair. And this is the reality of their deen likewise. They're calling on others besides Allah. They're calling on others besides Allah. So they're doing likewise other actions of worship as well, like taking swears and oaths by their idols and by their awliya and the likes like this. And it continues today likewise. And they're slaughtering for their sake as well. And they're making tawaf around their graves for the sake of as well. They're making al-i'tikaf likewise on their graves. Likewise as well, they're giving charity. And they're giving charity for the grave, and for the salih, for the righteous man, or so they claim, in the grave. This is what they're doing before. This is what they're doing now. This is what they're doing now. But the reality of this ibadah, even if it's not a statement on the tongue, is that it is dua. It's a type of invocation and supplication. And this is very important to realize, that all actions of worship, whenever they're performed properly, it's a type of invocation and supplication. A salah is dua. A zakat is dua. A siyam is dua. It's a type of dua. Dua means invocation. If a person, he asked the one who prayed the Maghrib now, why did you pray Maghrib for? Why did you pray Maghrib for? What would he say? Hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's praying Maghrib hoping for the reward of Allah, hoping for the promise of Allah, hoping for the mercy of Allah, hoping for the pleasure of Allah. So although maybe he's not saying, oh Allah, be pleased with me, oh Allah, grant me your mercy, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, accept my deed, this is what he's hoping. If the worship is performed properly, this is what he's hoping. Whenever a person is giving charity, obligatory or non-obligatory, he's giving his brother $100 because he's in need. What is he doing when, if he does the worship properly? What is he doing whenever he's doing that? Why is he letting his money go? Does he not love money? Could he not benefit from the $100? No doubt he loves the money. And this is something allowed. But it's not allowed to love the money more than one loves Allah, to show preference for the money over the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to give that which somebody, that which one loves for the sake of Allah, this is actually calling on Allah. Oh Allah, accept this from me. So the one who gives the charity in his heart, he's hoping that Allah will accept that from him. He's hoping that Allah will accept that deed from him, and that Allah will be pleased with him, and that in turn Allah will help him in this life and facilitate for him, and also give him a good ending in the hereafter, and likewise forgive his mistakes and errors. So this is why he's doing it. So an action of worship, for it to truly be performed properly, it has to have pillars established in the heart, and that is, it must be done with love. Sincere love for the sake of Allah. The reason why he's praying, the reason why he gave charity, is because he loves Allah. Because he loves Allah, and he's hoping for the reward from Allah. And he's afraid of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who worships Allah like this, this is true worship. So just as all of the actions of worship that are performed outwardly, barakallahu fikum, they have to have conditions. Salat, it has outward conditions before it's accepted. The charity, it has conditions outwardly before it's accepted. Likewise, the fasting and the hajj, there's conditions, there's pillars, there's requirements that must be performed outwardly before the action is accepted. Likewise, all of these actions as well, along with those conditions specific to each action, along with those conditions specific to each action, likewise inwardly there are conditions that must be performed. And that is that the heart must be full of the love of Allah. Of the love of Allah. And likewise, hoping for the reward from Allah and fearing the punishment of Allah. These are called arkan al-ta'abbud al-qalbiyyah. Arkan al-ta'abbud al-qalbiyyah. These are the pillars of worship of the heart. The pillars of worship of the heart. If a person is to stand and say Allahu Akbar, and he's to recite the Fatiha, and he's to move through all of these movements of humbleness and of submission, but his heart is thinking about the worldly life, what do we think about his worship? The whole time he said Allahu Akbar, but he's thinking about his child, or he's thinking about his job, or he's thinking about what so-and-so said, or he's thinking about what he's going to say to so-and-so, and the likes like this. And he, while he's saying Allahu Akbar, while he's reciting the Fatiha, while he's in the Ruku', he's saying with his tongue, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, but his heart is thinking about something else. Is his worship good? Is this called Ihsan? No, this is not called Ihsan. This is the great deficiency. This is a great deficiency in the worship. Although he's performing it outwardly, physically, it's not going to truly be correct and proper worship until likewise the heart is moving with the body. Until likewise the heart is moving with the body. So this is the real worship, whenever the heart is moving with the body. The person who seeks knowledge while his heart is moving, while his heart believes in Allah and is hoping for the reward from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah, seeking knowledge because he loves Allah. Likewise, teaching or any action of worship, the heart is full of these affairs, love and fear and hope. And coming along with them will be trust and reliance and humbleness and humility and submission and true sincere devotion. And this manner of the worship will be good. And this manner of the worship is considered invocation. So whether he is invoking Allah with his tongue, or whether he is simply just giving a dollar to somebody without saying a word, he's calling on Allah. He's calling on Allah. So from this aspect, it's called dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a, supplication. Also, we can call it invocation. Maybe to understand the point here, we call it invocation. Because now a person, he can call on Allah with his tongue. Oh Allah, provide for me. Oh Allah, sustain me. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, guide me. Oh Allah, bless my family. Oh Allah, increase me in provision that is wholesome and lawful. Oh Allah, he'll call on Allah like this with his tongue. But likewise, a person, whenever he's doing those righteous good deeds, he's also calling on Allah and invoking him to accept his actions by performing those righteous deeds. By performing those righteous deeds. So this is a type of dua. It's called dua al-ibad. There's dua mas'ala, whenever a person, he will ask Allah for his needs from the worldly life and from the hereafter. And there's dua al-ibadah, which is talab al-thawabi bil-amal al-saliha, to seek the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla by performing righteous deeds. This is a type of dua. This is a type of dua. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. This is narrated by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhu, and collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and the likes, an authentic narration. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a, it is the reality. It is the reality of al-ibadah, of worship, to call on Allah. So he mentioned this specifically. So these people who are taking intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jalla, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're calling on them. They're calling on them. Even if they call on them and they say, intercede on my behalf. Fulan, intercede on my behalf. He's calling on them. How is he calling on them? Huh? Whatever he's calling on the wali, what is in his heart? His heart is full of hope. He's putting his hope and his trust and his faith in the wali that he will respond to him. So therefore he's directing the greatest action of worship to other than Allah, which is dua. He's calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jal with hope and with humbleness and with love. And even some of them, they'll be found in front of the grave and with tears and their eyes and humbleness in a manner, with their head down and their hearts broken before the wali and before the grave. And whenever they stand in prayer, they're the ones standing in prayer where their hearts are heedless, where their hearts are forgetful, thinking about the worldly life. And whenever they're in the masajid, they do not find the khushu', and they do not find the humbleness and humility that they find whenever they're in front of the grave. And this is because their hearts are attached to the one in the grave like it's supposed to be attached to Allah. And their hearts are devoted to the one in the grave like it's supposed to be devoted to Allah. And that's directing the right of Allah to other than Allah. And this is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has forbidden. And this is the reason why he was sent as a prophet and messenger, to clarify and to warn from sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, this is the greatest of all affairs. This is the worst thing that a person could do, to put his faith and trust and reliance in someone in the creation and call on them. And call on them. Calling on them for something that only Allah can provide. For calling on them for something that only Allah can provide and only Allah can do. This is the worst and the most despicable level a person he could reach in this life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَكْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah, he does not forgive that this action is done right here, shirk. Allah, he is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, الرؤوف الكريم الغفور الغفار التواب سبحانه وتعالى. He's the most forgiving. He's the most merciful. He's the most kind. He's the one who often returns to his slaves in repentance. And he said سبحانه وتعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. That indeed Allah, He does not love that partners are set up with Him in worship. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And He forgives to that which is lesser than that to whom He wills. Meaning whoever dies upon that. That's because this is the worst of all crimes and the worst of all sins and the most lowly and despicable of all traits and actions that one could fall into, that he would attach his heart to a creation like Him with that which is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. No one can help us. No one can save us. No one can protect us. No one can grant us relief except for the Creator, the one who has authority and command, the one who has the dominion in His hand alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he's clarifying this because now there are people who ascribe to Islam in his time and until today, and they call the people. Not only do they do it, they call the people to call on others besides Allah. They call the people to call on others besides Allah, and they decorate it and they make it sound fair seeming to those who are ignorant, and then many people they fall into that. And many people they fall into that. So this is from the worst of all affairs. This is from the most clearest of issues that everybody should have no doubt with regards to. Rather, it's not allowed to doubt with regards to this, that it's not allowed to call on anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. To not hope in them and to trust in them and rely upon them and to call on them with humbleness and humility, hoping for a response, except for Allah. This is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. But many people today, they say it's okay. It's okay to call on Ali. They say that. No, it's okay to call on Fatima. It's okay to call on Hussein. They say that. Even some of them, they say, Ya Fatima, Ya Fatima, Adrikini. Like this, they'll say, He's a hada huwa tawheed. They'll say that. You can find that in their classes. They record themselves and they have audios. It's on YouTube. You can see the likes of these affairs. They'll say, this is tawheed. Oh Fatima, help me, aid me, support me. Al-Madad Ya Hussein. Provide for me, sustain me, oh Hussein. They say, hada huwa tawheed. This is what their scholars, they say, of the Rafida and the Shia and the likes like this. And they say, no, it's allowed for you to go to the grave and to make tawassul. Any, so they claim and they call it. Any meaning, to call on the one in the grave to make a connection with you, to bring you close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Claiming that you can do that. Claiming that you can call on Abdul Qadir al-Jailani. Claiming that you can call on Badawi. Claiming that you can call on Dusuqi. And that if you do that, that it will draw, that they'll draw you close to Allah. Rather, you cannot get close to Allah except through them. Many of them, they claim this. Many of them, they claim this. So the people who have weakness in this affair, many of the times they'll be tried by that. But if a person, he were just to open his heart and read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will see that this is not allowed and this is forbidden in verse after verse after verse in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has addressed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly with regards to this. And likewise, he has addressed the mankind with regards to this. And even some of them, they claim that you can call on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even they set up a day, they claim that it's his birthday sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to call on him and to seek his help and aid and relief besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah azza wa jal, he commanded his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say in his book, قُلْ يَنِي يَا مُحَمَّدْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. Say to them, O Prophet, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. This is the most beautiful and clearest of Arabic, classical, beautiful Arabic. Say, I only call on my Lord, and I do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. And I do not associate any partners whatsoever. إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. I have no ability to harm you or to bring you any guidance. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. Say to them, O Muhammad, I am not able to help you. I'm not able to harm you, nor am I able to guide you whatsoever. So what do they say? Call on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can help you. Call on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can guide you. What did Allah say for the Prophet to say? قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. This is what Allah, he said in the Quran. Say to them, O Muhammad, I'm not able to bring any harm to you, nor am I able to bring any guidance to you likewise. No benefit for you whatsoever. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Say to them that I am not able to protect you from Allah whatsoever, and I myself am not able to find any refuge from Allah Azza wa Jalla if I were to disobey Him. If I were to disobey Him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's afraid of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was afraid, he used to fear the punishment of Allah. قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَسَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordered to say to them, O Muhammad, that I fear if I disobeyed my Lord. If I disobeyed my Lord, I fear the punishment of a great day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was afraid of Allah. He was afraid of Allah and he warned the people. He warned the people. He came as a warner, warning them from making shirk and associating partners, warning them from taking intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that they're going to draw them near to Allah azza wa jalla. So we read a number of verses from the book of Allah azza wa jalla with regards to the prohibition of calling on others besides Allah. A dua is for Allah. Every aspect of dua. Every aspect of a dua, whether when he called on Allah with his tongue, or whether when he called on Allah by doing actions or by doing deeds of righteousness with his heart, hoping for the reward, hoping to draw near, all of this, it must be for Allah alone. Every aspect of dua, supplication, invocation, every aspect of worship, every aspect of love and devotion and servitude and sincerity and obedience and submission and compliance, it must be for Allah alone. That's why we're created. That's why we're breathing in this life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. How could they be turned away from this affair? So Allah, he says, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah, he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not call on anyone besides Allah, that will, those who will not benefit you nor will they harm you. And if you do that, then indeed you will be from the oppressors. Then indeed you will be from the oppressors. Allah, he mentioned this to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a threat and a warning, and likewise in order for the people to understand. And he meaning that this is something that the Messenger, he will never do. Rather, he was given guidance to avoid and stay away from this his whole life, even before prophethood. But the warning here is to clarify, had he fallen into this likewise sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be from those oppressors. And he would be from those who had a severe punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَيْنَ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ أَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُنَّنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ بَلِ اللَّهَ فَاعْبُدْ وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. These are from the most beautiful verses. The verses of At-Tawheed. The verses of the obligation of calling on Allah alone and putting one's faith and trust and reliance in Allah alone. Allah, he says, indeed we have revealed to you and to those before you. لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. That indeed, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have revealed to you. And we have revealed to those messengers before you. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ. That indeed, if you were to associate any partners with me whatsoever, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ أَمَلُكَ. Then all of your deeds are going to be invalidated. وَلَكُنَّنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And indeed, you will be from the losers. You, O Muhammad, Allah is addressing His Prophet in this manner as a means of discipline, and likewise as a means of warning for His Ummah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to clarify that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is under the command of Allah likewise, and he is a slave to Allah azza wa jalla, and if he were to disobey Allah, he will be taken to account likewise. It's the mercy and grace of Allah that he has guided his heart to where he doesn't make a mistake and to where he doesn't fall into this falsehood. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the clarification here is that had he done that, then likewise he will be taken to account. وَلَتَكُنَّنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And indeed you will be from the losers. بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ. Rather, Allah alone you must worship, O Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And you should be from those who show thanks. بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And you must be from those who show thanks. From those who show thanks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, قُلُوا دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَأَمْتُ مِنْ دُونِهِ فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ الضُّرِّ أَنْكُمْ وَلَا تَحْوِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to the people, call on those whom you claim and need to be intercessors. And this is directly to the people of Quraysh at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise to mankind after them. قُلُوا دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَأَمْتُمْ. Call on them, supplicate to them. Supplicate to them, invoke them, those whom you claim to be your intercessors besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ ضُرِّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا تَحْوِيلًا. They do not have the ability to remove the harm from you, nor to direct it away from you. Those who you call on besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, the awliya and the graves, the righteous, the angels, or the prophets and messengers, or the likes like this, or any other objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, they do not have the ability to remove harm. It is Allah Azza wa Jal, He is alone has the ability to remove harm and to bring safety, or to even direct the harm away from one person to another, or even to lighten that. This is all in the hands of Allah alone. In the hands of Allah alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions about them, those who claim that they worship, they claim And they claim that they're the intercessors, they do not have any authority whatsoever. They don't have any ability to remove the harm, or not to even redirect it or lie in it. Allah, He says after this, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبَ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتُهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ كَانَ مَحْذُورًا كَانَ مَحْذُورًا. Those whom they're calling on, meaning those people they're calling on the righteous, somebody who himself, he's really calling on a righteous person, the one who's really calling on an angel, or he's truly calling on a prophet or messenger, or the one who's truly calling on somebody who's a righteous man. Allah, He says about those people, about those righteous, يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةَ. They themselves calling on Allah. How are you calling on these people when they themselves, they're calling on Allah? How are you calling on Jesus to save you when Jesus himself, he called on Allah? People, they're calling on Jesus. They say, in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we bless our food in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. And then like this. And then likewise they do the same thing. Calling on the awliya, calling on Jailani. In the name of Jailani. And drawing near to Jailani. Jailani, if he was righteous himself, he called on Allah. He used to seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping for his reward. Those who are truly righteous, from the prophets and messengers, and from the righteous of the followers of the prophets and messengers, they themselves, whenever they were alive, they're calling on Allah. They used to hope for the reward from Allah. They were desiring the mercy of Allah. They would humble themselves in servitude and devotion to Allah alone. They used to fear the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the point is now, how can you call on somebody who himself, he used to have devotion and servitude and submission before Allah? Rather, if you want to have the good that that person has, you should follow his good role model and call on Allah like he did. Submit to Allah like they did. If you want to truly follow the awliya and show respect and honor to the awliya, those who are truly righteous in the grave, then you follow their footsteps. You follow their way, and their way, if they're truly righteous, is to call on Allah alone, to worship Allah alone, to devote all actions of worship to Allah alone. This is the correct and the good way. They used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He mentions likewise, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Those who you call on besides Allah, they are slaves like you. They are slaves like you. And this is as a refutation, meaning to think, use your mind. Use your mind. Those whom you're calling on, you're invoking them besides Allah Azza wa Jal, regardless of their status and rank, regardless if they're the highest from the lofty angels, or if they have the high status from the prophets and messengers, even the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ibadun amthalukum. They're slaves like your slaves. The prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Abdullahi wa Rasul, call me the slave of Allah and his messenger. So the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa abdullahi wa Rasul, he's the slave of Allah and his messenger. Al abdu la yu'bad, a slave, he's not worshipped. The one who's a slave, he's not worshipped. Rather, the one who is worshipped is the creator and the provider and the sustainer of the slaves. So how could a person, he worship a person like him? And then on top of that, the person is not even alive anymore. Wa'iyadhu billah. This is all falsehood. Not to mention, on top of this, the creed that comes along with this as well. And that they're devoting this action of humbleness and hope and fear and faith and desire, hoping in that one that he's calling on. Likewise, maybe they're calling on them from a land far away, or in a language that's contrary to the language of the one who's deceased, of the Wadi himself. So now they have given likewise the Wadi, the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ability to hear all things and to understand all languages. And it is Allah alone who hears all things and understands all languages. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe they'll be in America and they're calling on the Wadi in Iraq, or they're calling on the Wadi in Hind, or they're calling on the Wadi in this land or in that land. And maybe they're calling on him in English. He didn't speak English. Which one of them spoke English? Wadiyadu billah. So now this, as if they believe that these awliya that they call on can hear them and can respond to them and can aid them and help them even from distant lands. So this is even shirk on top of shirk. This is dhulm on top of dhulm. This is darkness on top of darkness. This is falsehood on top of falsehood. This is evil on top of evil. This is foul and a lowly way to believe the likes of this. It is Allah alone that can hear and see and know all things. It is Allah alone that responds to the supplication and to those who are in distress and those who are in need. So this is from the worst of all affairs again. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Those who you're calling on besides Allah, they are slaves like your slaves, your creation like your creation. يعني مَرْبُوبٌ كَأَنْتَ. يعني مَرْبُوبٌ كَأَنْتَ مَرْبُوبٌ. Allah, He create for you and provide for you and sustain you. And the one that you're calling on, Allah created them likewise. And He provide for them likewise and sustains them likewise. So how can the one who's marbub call on the one who's marbub? Isn't the marbub supposed to call on the Rabb? How can the makhluk call on the makhluk? Is it the makhluq supposed to call on the khaliq? Do you understand this? The marbub is the one who is raised, the one who is cultivated, the one who is provided for and sustained. How can somebody who is marbub call on somebody else like him marbub? How can somebody who is created and brought into existence and was in the womb of a woman call on somebody who likewise was in the womb of a woman like him? Was also came out crying and in need of food and also going to the bathroom. This is what Allah mentioned about Isa alayhi salam. وَكَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. Both of him, Isa and his mother, they both used to eat food. Meaning anybody who eats food, he's definitely not worthy of worship. عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Slaves like you. They need provision like you. They go to the restroom like you. Yani, even though they have a high and lofty status, no doubt. The best of mankind, they're still mankind. They're still creation. They're still provided for and sustained. They're still under the decree and the command of Allah. They're still not worthy of worship. They're still not worthy of worship. So many verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal clarifying this affair. That Allah, He's the truth alone. And that Allah, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyu al-qayyum. Read Ayatul Kursi. It will clarify why Allah alone is the one who's worthy of worship. And anything that's anything besides Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not worthy of worship whatsoever. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ الْبَاطِلِ أَنْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. And that which they call on, they invoke and supplicate to, besides Allah, is falsehood. Allah, He is the truth. لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. He has the true call, calling on Allah alone, worshipping Allah alone, devoting oneself to Allah alone, with no partners whatsoever. This is the true call. لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. And everything that they call on and they supplicate to and that they invoke and they devote and direct actions of worship to besides Him is falsehood. It's falsehood. It's falsehood. لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُم بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا كَبَاسِطِ كَفَيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُغَ فَاهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِهِ وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي الضَّلَالِ. The one who calls on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, He mentioned about them that this person is like the one who's sticking out his hands to the water. كَبَاسِطِ كَفَيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُغَ فَاهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِهِ. The one who's sticking his hands out to the water. For example, if there's a river in front of a person and he just sticks his hands out like this. Or if there's a faucet in front of a person and he just sticks his hands out like this. You think that the water is just going to jump in his mouth? Is the water just going to jump in it and he just stick his hands out like this and like he's calling on the water to come to him? And the water just going to just start directing itself to him and jump in his mouth? To reach his mouth, it's never going to happen. Really, he's going to have to go over there and scoop the water up with his hands and put it in his mouth. The water will never reach his mouth. This is an example of those who are putting their hands out, calling on others besides Allah. It will never reach. It will never benefit. It will never have any benefit whatsoever. This is because Allah, He is the truth. Calling on Allah is the truth. Calling on others besides Allah is falsehood. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. And that's because Allah, He is the Most High. And He is the one who is the greatest, the most great. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah, He is the greatest. There's nothing greater than Him. He's the only one who is worthy of worship. He's the only one worthy for us to prostrate before and to call on and to put our faith and hope in and to fear. And to fear, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only one to seek refuge with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He mentions in His book, ذَلِكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. ذَلِكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. This is Allah, your Lord. And he is the one who possesses the dominion and authority. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. Al-Mulk means the kingdom and dominion, meaning likewise the authority and command. Al-Mulk لِلَّهِ. All of this creation is under the ownership and authority, and it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of al-mulk. All of this creation, all of this life, it is in the authority and the ownership. It belongs to Allah. It belongs to Allah. He is the one who has created it. He is the one who has given it shape and form. He's the one who's providing for it and sustaining it. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs of the entire creation. All of it belongs to Him. ذَلِكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. This is a great praise. This is a great glorification. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. All of the universe belongs to Him. All of the universe is under His authority. It's under His command. قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكُ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has supreme authority and command. Nothing happens except with His permission. Except with His permission, according to His wisdom and knowledge. Allah, He says after this, سبحانه وتعالى والذين تدعون من دونه لا يملكون من قطمير. And those whom you call on besides Allah, they do not even own a qitmir. A qitmir is the small casing that's on a date stone. If you have a date stone, after you open the date and you eat the date, the stone, any of the seed, there's a small thin casing. A small thin casing, like a wrap that you will find there. This is called qitmir. ذَلِكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ. That is Allah who is your Lord. All of the kingdom, the authority and command belongs to Him. And those whom you call on besides Him, they do not even own a qitmir. They do not even own, and have complete authority, entirety over the small little casing of a date stone. Any meaning the smallest thing. The smallest thing. Jailani, he does not have a qitmir. He does not even completely own. Al-Badawi, Al-Dusuqi, or any of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not own, not even the qitmir. This belongs to Allah azza wa jal. Lahu al-mulk. All of this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, why would somebody seek something from somebody who does not own it? If you want something, should you not go to the owner? If you want something, should you not go to the owner? Why would we go and ask somebody else for something they do not own? The people of knowledge, they say, فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The person who does not have something, he cannot give it. So the people, the angels, the prophets and messengers, and those under them, they do not own anything in this life. They don't have absolute authority over anything in this life. Rather, it is Allah alone who has absolute authority over everything in this life. So if a person, he wants something from this life or the hereafter, then he has to ask it from the one who has authority and command over that. And that is Allah alone. And that is Allah alone. So this is clear. Those who say the claim, you can call on the Prophet besides Allah. All of these verses here clarify they're lying. Who we believe? We're going to believe the Rafida and the Shia? Are we going to believe the Sufiya? Are we going to believe our Lord in His book? Are we going to believe? They say you can call on them. Allah, He says, if you call on them, this is your fate and your outcome. And they don't have any authority whatsoever. Allah, He mentioned in His book, قُلْ عُدُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ وَمَا لَهُ فِيهِمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this verse here is the verse that has cut all the roots of shirk from the heart of the pagan and polytheist. And everything, every aspect that a pagan or a polytheist, the one who associates partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, every aspect that he could use, yani to attach his heart to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, this verse has cut that off and has removed that and clarified the falsehood of that. Say to them, O Muhammad, قُلْ أُدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call on those whom you claim, yani to be your partners and intercessors, to be means to draw you near to Allah. Any to besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. They do not own the ant's weight. They do not own the مثقال ذرة. الذرة is the smallest ant. The smallest ant. Even in modern terminology, is like a dust particle or an atom. The smallest thing is the word ذرة is used to refer to the smallest thing. The smallest thing. Those whom they call on besides Allah, they do not own even the smallest thing, not in the heavens nor in the earth. Not even the smallest ant or the smallest particle. They do not have no complete and supreme authority over that whatsoever. Not in the heavens and not in the earth. Those whom you call on, any of them. Those whom you call on from the angels. Those who you call on from the prophets and messengers. Those whom you call on from the righteous. Those whom you call on from the rest of the creation, the sun, moon, and the stars, or the trees, and the likes like this. Those whom you call on besides Allah, they do not have complete authority over even the atom's weight, or even the smallest ant, or even a particle. They do not own that entirely, and absolutely whatsoever, not in the heavens, and not in the earth. And he clarifying again that if a person, he wants something, he has to go to the one who owns it and has authority. He has to go to the one who owns it and has authority. As for those whom they call on besides Allah, Allah is clarifying here that they do not even have ownership or authority, any entirety over not even the smallest particle in the heavens or in the earth. Or even the heavens and the earth. So to call on the person who does not even own the smallest particle in the heavens and the earth is falsehood. Is falsehood. So therefore, if they want to call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jalla because they believe that they have ownership or authority or ability over something in the heavens and the earth, and now this verse here clarified that is falsehood. لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. No matter who they are, They do not have a complete and absolute authority over even the smallest ant or the smallest particle in the heavens or in the earth. And then likewise after this, and he will moving on to the next level. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكِ. And likewise, those whom you call on besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise, also they do not have any associate or partnership in authority over anything in the heavens and the earth. Over anything in the heavens and the earth. This is what the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to claim. Even whenever they are making their talbiyah and hajj, what would they say? Labbaik Allahumma la sharika laka illa sharikan huwa laka tamlikuhu wa ma malak. This was from the talbiyah of the mushrikeen of Quraysh in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Labbaik la sharika lak illa sharikan huwa laka tamlikuhu wa ma malak. Oh Allah, no partners for you whatsoever. We respond to you, no partners do you have. You have no partners whatsoever except for one partner that you own, and you own what it owns. That you own and you own what it owns. Meaning? Huh? Meaning the awliya, meaning the intercessors that they have. Meaning the intercessors that they have. And they know that Allah, He owns the intercessor, and likewise that which the intercessor owns. They're just taking the intercessor as a means to draw near to Allah. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That was their creed. This is why the author, he's warning us from. This is the same thing that the people they try to claim today, likewise, who have the same doubt, the same misconception. And the ruling is the same. The ruling is the same. They're not Muslims. They're not believers. And if they die in that manner, they will never enter paradise. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore, to warn them from that, and to call them away from that, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his people away from that as well. They have no share, no partnership of any authority and of anything, not even the smallest particle in the heavens nor in the earth. وَمَا لَهُ فِيهِ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. And likewise, Allah, he has no helper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one is the helper of Allah. Allah, He does not need helpers. There's no one who is helping Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. O mankind, you are in entire need of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. And it is Allah, He is the one who is free of all needs, worthy of all praise. Is free of all needs, worthy of all praise. So therefore here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified that those whom they call on besides Allah, they do not have authority or ownership over anything in the heavens and the earth, not even the smallest particle. And likewise, they have no share likewise in anything of the heavens and the earth, not even the smallest particle. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has no helpers. So they cannot go to others besides Allah because they did not own anything, not even the smallest particle. And likewise, they cannot go to others besides Allah because they believe that He's a partner, or that Allah, He does not have partners in His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor in His dominion, nor in His authority. He does not have any partners. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكِ. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He doesn't have anyone to help Him or aid or support Him. He's not in need of anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they cannot go to the helpers of Allah to seek help and intercession in this manner. وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. And intercession is the only thing they have left. And this is their shubha and doubt, and that will not benefit whatsoever with Allah Azza wa Jal, except for the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. So therefore, the intercession is beneficial with Allah Azza wa Jal whenever it's performed in the proper manner from those whom Allah will allow. And Allah, He does not allow the intercession from those who commit shirk. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's not pleased with those who commit shirk. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah, He's not pleased with disbelief for His slaves. So therefore, it's very clear that this is falsehood. That this is falsehood to take intercessors and to call on them, believing that they will draw them near to Allah, to put hope and faith in the awliya or in the graves. This is from the worst of all falsehood and from the greatest of all misguidance and from the most foul and evil and wicked of all ways, regardless of what the people they claim and what they say. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has clarified that this is falsehood and not allowed. That this is falsehood and not allowed. So now we should be able to see clear who are the true enemies of Al-Islam. This is what Allah, He has called the people to and warned them from likewise, calling them to worship Him alone and make all devotion, especially dua, for Him alone. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to, and they say, no, you can call on them. Rather, instead of that, instead of calling on Allah, they called on the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would not even allow a person to say, Masha Allahu wa shitta. He became angry at this, whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. Or whenever somebody said that, oh, there's a prophet amongst us and he knows what will happen tomorrow, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry. He became angry. He would not allow this because this is from the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the greatest affair that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opposed the people of Jahiliyyah with regards to. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.